Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Well, a hoot and a holler and a ringer on the collar.
Oh, dear God.
Well, look, let me just say, the reason why I started that way is I'm in a bit of a cowboy mood, you know?
Oh.
A cowboy mood. A game came out this week that I apparently pre-ordered because it got downloaded on my PS5 without me knowing it.
Just blacked out and...
Blacked out and pre-ordered. Weird West. I gotta say, something... Can I just, for a second... I don't mean to get up on a soapbox here, okay? I'm a big horror fan, and one thing that kind of bothers me a lot is... You see a lot of Victorian era horror. You got your vampires and your whatever, your medieval stuff. And then you got it kind of a lot of current horror. A lot of horror franchises ignore the Wild West. And I think like Western times are such a great, like delicious, weird period of history that it deserves to have some horror elements. And so I was excited that the Weird West came out.
I can see how, you know, there's a lot of horror games, there's Wild West, but you're right. I don't often see them hand in hand.
And one thing we've talked about before on here is my love of the DLC of Red Dead Redemption, where they did Undead Nightmare, and they skinned the game to be zombies and all undead bears. And it was really, really fun. And I just can't believe more games haven't taken advantage of this. So I got Weird West. And I've been playing it.
How is it? I'm assuming it's West, but is it weird?
It's pretty weird. What's weird about it is that they decided to go with a top-down three-quarter Disco Elysium view.
Okay.
It's weird in a bad way.
What's the premise?
The premise is you are a... Well, okay, I guess it happens right at the beginning, so it's not really a spoiler. But you are a former gunslinger turned farmer. In the very beginning, your kid is killed.
Wow.
And your husband is taken. So you go in the back, like John Wick, you go in the backyard and you dig up your old six shooters and you go out after your husband to save your husband. And you find out very early on he's been taken by a cannibal, a thing called a siren, which normally is like in the water, but I don't know. I guess it's in the desert.
Yeah, I was going to ask, but you know what?
Yeah,
it's the Wild West.
That's kind of thing. And there's combat. It's fun. There's a lot of talking. It's a Devolver game, which is great.
Oh, cool.
So you know it's quality. But I'm not a fan of the view. The view makes it weird.
Yeah, that gets it for me. Especially horror games, too. I feel like they have to be... If it is more of a spooky thing, if you're first person, it feels like you are in it. I do feel with that kind of strange, like, top view, you can remove yourself a bit. Maybe it takes a little bit of the spookiness out.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know what it is I think that we talk about this a lot, about games being a very visceral, emotional experience and you being in the game. I don't think I would want to be further away than The Last of Us.
Yeah.
That's as far away, because that game is scary. Those games are scary. And first person, obviously Resident Evil, those games are scary. I don't think you can be further away than The Last of Us, whatever that view is.
No, because it's all about what you can see.
Right.
And if I have a very limited view and it is what my view, like my peripheral vision as a human is, that's spooky.
That's
I need
spooky.
To turn my head. I don't know what the hell's behind me, but I can see how like a top down might be a little less spooky. But is it still spooky?
Well, to be quite fair, I think that it's kind of more of an RPG with action elements. So it's a lot of talking to people and that stuff. So I think in that way, I'm excited to get into the lore. And guess what? For a lot of people, reading is scary. So I think in that way, it'll be scary. But I think it's a very slick game. It's very well done. I'm loving the music. I love the colors. The action has been okay. But coming off of Disco Elysium, I think, which was so lore heavy, I'm ready. I'm primed for some lore.
Yes. Well, I'm excited you found a new Western game.
What is if you were to, in this game, I feel like I'm going to run into a lot of different monsters. What is the scariest monster?
Oh, besides the demons within myself?
Your inner demons. That's an acceptable answer. Inner demons.
I'd say that's pretty up there.
I think, yeah, frankly, and that's every video game when it comes down to it. Every video game is a battle against our inner demons. Well, you know what's going to be a great palate cleanser for our inner demons?
Yes.
Today's guest.
Aw, what a wonderful and beautiful, seamless segue. I love that. And it's true. I think that this is going to be the palate cleanser we need to get out of our inner demons for today. Our guest today, she's a Twitch streamer, and she has been the second female streamer ever to join 100 Thieves. Woo. We absolutely loved having the chance to chat with her about her favorite games, what she's playing now, and what the heck is it like living in the 100 Thieves house? It's a little crazy, I imagine, living in a gaming house. So here is our interview with Brooke AB.
Thank you for being here. This is very exciting. You know what's really funny? We were going through our research and learning all about you, and something jumped out to me, which was you studied forensic science and psychology.
Yes.
Now, I'm fascinated by this. Like, first of all, my parents are therapists, so I've been in therapy life, basically.
Yeah, me too.
But does it translate at all to your job? Are you better at puzzle games? Are you getting inside of the mind? What's happening, you know?
I mean, I'm not good at puzzle games. I will start with that. I'm really bad, actually. But, you know, I feel like you get a better understanding of, I don't know, like people in general, you know, I mean, because that's what I have to deal with every day. And yeah, a lot of them, you know, people on the internet can be really mean. And
what do you mean?
I know, it's shocking. So, you know, I think back to my days in psychology. I'm like, why are they being like this? Like, it's not personal, you know, all that kind of stuff for sure.
I feel like that's handy to have on Twitch.
Yeah,
for sure.
And definitely. I do think, and especially for like streaming, it's so interesting because like you're screaming at a screen basically, and people are like, it's such a fascinating thing. So I think, yeah, I can see where the psychology really helps.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, streaming itself is just so, so weird. Cause I do the YouTube and all that stuff as well. But like streaming is just a whole different ball game. Cause it's like, you know, people say, oh, your job's so easy, which, okay. Yeah. I play video games, which, you know, kind of, but like being entertaining and being, you know, out there for sometimes 8-9 hours straight is exhausting.
It's wild. Yeah.
It's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of energy.
I kind of feel like it's like, and Sonia, you know, is such a, loves cars. I feel like it's similar to like a race, like NASCAR or something. You're like, oh yeah, what are you doing? Driving fast and turning left? And it's like, no, I'm going 200 miles an hour for 6 hours.
Like peak performance.
Yeah, the streaming is just wild. Like I was watching some of your videos, and like even like Grand Theft Auto, you're doing improv for like 7 hours with other people online. It's bananas.
Yeah, it's, yeah. And Grand Theft Auto has just been, I'm pretty new to that. So it's like a big learning curve, but you know, streaming's one thing, but then you're streaming, entertaining, but then you have another character inside of, you know, some streamers are already have characters that they are, you know, just on stream. So you have like a character inside of your character, that you're improvising with. It's a whole thing.
There's a lot of layers. And I feel like a lot of people don't see that even outside of streaming, like the business aspect of it and just every keeping up with social media. I always look at it as like you leave a 9-to-5 job and you enter a like 24/7 job.
100%.
It's just constant. It's constant. And I always enjoy hearing people's like tipping point of like their pre-streaming career. And at the point you've kind of made it like a full-time thing. You know what I mean? Like what was that moment for you where you're like, oh my God, wait, I'm actually paying my bills. Like this is a thing. This is my job.
Well, so it was kind of crazy because when I was in college, I was a full-time student. I worked a part-time job and then I streamed the other part-time job. Whoa. So my days were like a packed schedule from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed. So that was really overwhelming. And then I was like, finally, like I had kind of like an overnight blow up because of like the streamers that I played with. It was like a really lucky once in a lifetime opportunity. And I went from like 70 viewers to 7,000 overnight.
Whoa.
So it was a huge jump and it was interesting to see, but I was ending my stream with like 10,000 viewers to go work my minimum wage part-time job. And that was the moment where I'm like, okay, it's time to quit the job. It's time to take this full-time because I'm losing money to go to my job. It didn't make sense.
At that point, yeah. So were you, how long were you streaming before?
I was streaming for about, I think for about a year. About a year. Okay. Yeah, so I was doing a year. Like, you know, I had like 60, 70 viewers maybe, and I really enjoyed it, but it wasn't something that I really ever saw myself doing full time or being like, wow, I'm a streamer and that's what I want to do and be, you know, for the next however many years. It was kind of like, I'm getting my degree and this is something I can make a couple extra bucks because I'm a broke college student.
Yeah. Hey. How do you get hyped up for a stream?
You know, it's funny because sometimes like, you know, I'll, you know, get some coffee, you know, wake up, you know, go for a walk, sit on my back porch. And sometimes I'm like, on the days where I'm not feeling it, I will stay in my pajamas and crawl to my setup and I'll just go live. Like sometimes you just, and I tell them, I'm like, you are not getting the best version of me today, but I'm here. I'm showing up. We're going to hang out and it's just going to be a chill, more relaxed kind of vibe today.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I appreciate the honesty too with chat because I feel like sometimes if you're just like not in a good space or you're just not feeling it, you don't have the energy, being able to connect with chat and let them know that, I feel like half the time they'll lift you up.
Yeah.
Like they'll bring the energy up and they'll definitely make it happen. And you know, like we said earlier, how it feels like you're, you know, you go from a 9-to-5 to a 24/7, it's like you're, I feel like with a job like this and streaming, it feels like something where your growth is very equivalent to the time and the effort that you put in.
100%.
And it can be hard, like when it is a numbers game, it can be hard when you're not feeling 100% to step away and to take time to yourself. And I think that's one thing I really appreciate about you is you've been very open about mental health and very open about taking breaks. How do you personally deal with that? Like, are you like, nope, next 2 days, all for me, or what's your go-to?
Yeah, this is something that I struggled with for a long time because, you know, a lot of times some streamers will like not even take a weekend because, and people get mad if they do take time off because, well, your job's so easy. Why are you doing that? You know?
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see the dynamic. And most of the viewers are really supportive about, you know, take your time, you know, take care of yourself. But for me, and I've struggled with mental health my entire life, and it's something that is really important to me that I, you know, take care of myself and things like that. So I've just come to recognize the signs of myself where, hey, today is not the day. If you go live, you're going to end up crying on stream. You're going to yell at someone. You're going to do something. So
a classic Blairt stream, just a good weep. I'm just weeping and just looking into the camera with just like, how did I end up here? A single tear.
Typical Fridays at live stream.
Yeah, this is just us on Fridays.
Yeah. No, so I'm like, I can already feel it. So on those days, hey guys, not going live today, taking care of myself. But also just on a, you know, on a grander scale, there is a time where I took an entire month away from the internet. Like I just completely because I was at such a low point where I was, you know, I'm not getting out of bed, I'm not motivated, I'm not sleeping, I'm not eating, I'm doing nothing. So being able to look at myself and say, you're not okay, and you need to take this time to take care of you so you can be the best version of yourself for your job, for your friends, for your family, and things like that.
Yeah.
I think it helps other people not feel as alone in their own feelings too. Like if they're feeling very similar, they know that, you know, it is important and they should put that forward and put that as a first priority.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to video games in general, how did you get your start? What was your first video game obsession that you were like, oh, I'm into this?
Oh, it's so hard. I've been gaming my whole life. My older sister and I, ever since we were really young, you know, we started on the computer games, and we were like playing like Freddy Fish, like when we're like, you know, 4 years old. But, you know, we got a PlayStation, then an Xbox, and it just kind of, our entire life was just, you know, gaming. And it's funny because people are always like, people just watch you play games. Like, why don't they just play the games themselves? Like, that's what people always say. But my whole life, I didn't want a game. I wanted to watch my sister do it. So I'd sit behind her and just watch her. And now it's like the other way around. But our whole life, just kind of, we grew up playing it. And I took it more seriously as I got older with like Call of Duty and Halo and things like that. But it's always just kind of been a constant for me.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
I mean, that is a big jump from something like Freddy Fish to like competitive games like Call of Duty and Halo and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of like
a jump. But
we were playing like on the PlayStation. We were playing kind of like the, well, we had like Disney Skate or like, you know, those kind of,
sure,
those ones. Yeah. Yeah. And then once we got the Xbox, it was like Halo, Call of Duty, you know, Minecraft.
So yeah. were you really competitive with each other, or was it a more like cooperative?
Definitely cooperative. Like, okay, we were not ever like that because most of the time I didn't even want to be playing it. And I think
that's so funny.
I know. And I think you see, I play video games for a living, but I am bad at video games. Like, I am so bad. So I think that it's reflected from when I was a child, because I like to watch my sister play. I would like build houses on Minecraft, but when it comes to like shooting games, it's just not.
Yeah, me too. I'm still waiting for the Freddy Fish multiplayer.
All right.
One day.
Yeah. Like, bring that
please.
In. Bring it in.
Back.
So
all I'm asking for.
I know. I feel it. Whenever it's brought up or people know that I like stream on Twitch or that's like, you know, part of my career, people are like, oh, you must be really good at video games. I'm like, ha.
Yes, nope. I am.
Do I have some news for you?
That's a big hell no. Also, like, can I say a thing which is like, and this is going to be a blanket statement, but I feel like people who are really good at video games are not as good at being entertaining and connecting with their audience as well. Like, because they're so into the game. It's better to not be that great.
It's hard to find. Like, I feel like there are very few streamers out there that can do both really, really well.
I agree.
Like, and I think that's why you see how successful they can be when they can do both of those. But yeah, I mean, when you're good at video games, why do I have to be entertaining? Just watch me be good.
Right. Exactly. Like, Tom Brady doesn't have to be funny. He's just really good at throwing a ball around. You know, it's like, well, good job, Tom Brady. But it's like, you know, some of us got to be funny.
We have no other choice.
I'd rather have a good connection with people. Like, that's my thing.
Yeah.
I would rather have that. Because in a certain way, by the way, I feel like, and I'm biased, but that's a harder thing to do, is really get a community that loves you, surrounding you, versus like, oh, I'm just great at Dark Souls or something.
Yeah, and then you can see that, you know, when obviously games go in and out of being popular.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you can switch a game and your audience is following you, okay, then that says enough about you as a streamer.
You're the game.
Yeah.
You're the game that people love.
1,000%.
That's the thing. That's
and
the whole
speaking
thing.
Of like multiple people who are amazing at both, and I feel like have actually had, you know, they have that balance. A lot of people under 100 Thieves.
Oh,
I
yeah.
feel like that's like top tier creators who are able to curate an amazing supportive community and are also like really effing good at games. You were the second female to partner with 100 Thieves.
Yeah.
What did that, first of all, how did that come to be? What does that mean to you personally? I'd love to hear more.
I mean, it means the world. It meant the world to me at the time, and it still to this day does. When I first heard from Nadeshot, it was right after the blow up thing. So I remember I got the message like, hey, would you like to get on a phone call with us? We're really interested in talking to you. I flung my door open. I was sprinting down my stairs. I'm like, Mom, Mom! I'm like, Nadeshot! I'm like freaking out, shaking. She's like, who? She's like, who is this? Anyway, so I was just so happy. I was running around my house, and you know, once I got on a call with them, it was just almost instant. I was like, this is what I wanted. This is what I've been waiting for. Because like I said, I'm not good at video games. And I feel like 100 Thieves does a great job of, you know, you can do content, you can be good at video games, you can do lifestyle, apparel. There's so many things that they do and can help you with. So it was just like, it was the only one that I was even considering joining because that, you know, wow, like that's the dream. So for them to like instantly say, hey, we want you to be the second, you know, female in the organization. We really love what you're doing. I was just beyond honored. But the biggest thing that now we have what, six female, like I think, yeah, six. I'm like, wait, I gotta do a count. And it's just, you see it, a lot of orgs will say like, oh yeah, no, we have a girl on our, you know,
look at this girl we have. Yeah,
we have. Hey, look, yes, look at her, and she's doing, and that's great. But I mean, and I'm happy they do, but I wish, and I know 100 Thieves is building a lot of content around the women and mm-hmm. really puts them in the front, says, look at our badass women yeah. and how they're leading the way and doing all these amazing things. So I think that no one else is doing it like them. Like, I just, yeah. I love them and I'm so impressed with them. I could talk about them forever. They're the best.
No, wait, I have a question for you. So you guys have a streaming house,
yes.
right? And so you live in the streaming house.
Yes.
How is that for you with a work-life balance? Because mm-hmm. when I lived in New York, you know, I was doing like stand-up every night with my roommate. And so we were like a duo, and it was like everything was a bit. And we would do like jokes because we were friends, obviously. And then we would be like, oh no, wait, should we save this? Should we workshop this on stage? it was like this crazy thing where I couldn't separate myself from the thing. Like, how do you, because you basically live in your office, right? Like, how do you maintain that work-life balance? Yeah, yeah. Right. She's, yeah.
I'm
she's
like, I literally sleep back. Right behind me.
Right. She's, yeah, she's pointing to her back.
Yeah, there's a bed right here.
Yeah. And yeah. Like, being with those folks, how is that? And how do you stay separated there?
It's funny. I think all of us struggle with this because, yeah. you know, overall there's six of us in the house because we have significant others that live with us, but four of us stream. So at any point you're walking through the house, you hear someone screaming at like, I'll be like calling my mom like, hi Mom, I really miss you. And they're like, damn it! Like screaming in the background. I'm like, sorry.
like everything's fine, Mom. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah, like you could literally, I'll be streaming on my setup and you can hear them from the other room. My stream's like, are they okay? I'm like, it's a new season of Warzone's out. Like, you know,
They're fine.
So it's definitely, it's loud a lot of the times, but also when you go downstairs, you know, someone could be filming a vlog or someone could be, I know that there are days where we have with 100 Thieves production days where they come to the house and we'll film for like 9 hours. So even if I'm not in that shoot that day, I walk downstairs to get myself a glass of water. Hey, I'm in the background of the video, you know? So it's kind of, it can always be going, but there's a good balance of also like, this is our home and we like to sit back and relax sometimes. And so everyone's super respectful of that. If we have any events or shoots or vlogs, everyone gives a heads up. You know, it's not ever like I'm walking down in a robe and no makeup, and they're like, oh my God, there's Brooke coming down the street. Right. It's never like that.
Living with
God.
Paparazzi. Ah, no photos.
Yeah. So it's never like that, which is I'm really thankful for. So.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
So what are you right now? What are you finding the most exciting? What are you grinding on the most? Like, what games are kind of in your mix right now?
Oh, gosh. Right now, and this is new, a lot of GTA. It's, yes. I mean.
I watched a lot of that. It's great.
So fun. It's so fun because it's like, this is the weirdest way to put it, but everyone's like, the metaverse is like, everyone's talking about the metaverse. No, GTA is our own little metaverse where, yes, like, you have your own virtual life and you go and you live it. Like, people go to a 9-to-5 work day in GTA.
That's so wild. I know the whole world of like role play in games, specifically Grand Theft Auto, is like, it's so wild.
Oh, yeah.
Man, so we do this podcast. I produce, you know, Conan's fan podcast where he talks to fans or whatever. And so I pre-interview a lot of fans. And I talked to one fan who literally has a second job as like a police officer in GTA and like had to like be trained. It was like very much. Like,
they have to study.
He had to take a test. And like, he has hours he has to go on and do the thing and stop people for infractions. It was wild.
Oh my God.
To me.
It is.
You're so right about the metaverse. Like, GTA is the real metaverse.
It is. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? This new metaverse. GTA is right here.
Yeah,
like,
we're here
doing
already.
It.
Yeah, we're doing
it. It's already here, baby.
Yeah.
So speaking of like second jobs, you know, you've got your forensic science degree. Are you gonna take that into GTA?
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, maybe they'll hire me. Oh, I don't know. Right now, I'm somewhat of a criminal, so I don't know if they'll hire me.
Oh no. Well, maybe we'll go on the psychology side.
Yeah, I'll be a
GTA
character.
Therapist. Yeah,
yeah.
GTA. Oh my God, I would.
They have
love...
therapists.
They do.
Yes. There's couples on there that will go to couples counseling in GTA.
Stop. Yes.
It's hilarious.
I love this.
My mind is blown right now. That's crazy.
The other day, there's a character called Mr. K, and he had like a show that what was it called? Like, where they're like, "You are not the father." Like,
like Maury or Jerry Springer.
Yes,
or something.
They did a Jerry Springer show with people's characters and like brought out fake babies and stuff. It was so funny.
Oh my God,
it's hilarious. People are so creative on there, and like all the music on there is music that people on the server have made, so you can't get DMCA strike.
Wow,
nice.
So when you turn on the radio, it's all music that people have made.
Whoa.
And it's just so good.
That's insane.
That's so cool.
I'm in a couple of the Grand Theft Autos on the radio. Like I'm like a voice or whatever. And then in one of them, I'm like a quarter of all the joggers and personal trainers. And
what?
I told this story before in like San Andreas, like a quarter of them are all me. And so when that came out, I got like 40 texts of like murdered people because my friends were like, "Found you," and like they just would shoot all and they're like, "That's Blay, there's his voice," and they would be like, here's the dead body, here's your dead body. And I was like,
thanks,
oh my God, Jesus, this is dark.
My friends are so supportive.
It's funny because I was like, and I remember specifically I was like having coffee with someone. I was like, oh, and I got like a text of like someone, and there somebody saw my phone, they're like, "Jesus, what is that?" I was like, oh, somebody murdered me in Grand Theft Auto. It's just I just love that.
Just casual.
It was so funny. But that's awesome. They're making their own music. My God.
That's cool. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Like creator supportive all around.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like. Absolutely.
I'm a fool. I've been hanging out in VR chat, but I got to get on Grand Theft Auto. That seems like where it's all at.
Yes. Wait, Blade, what would your job be?
Oh, great question. Well, you know, I would like to be a better cook. You know, like I do this show every week, Dinner and a Video Game, where I make dinner and play a video game, you know, like.
Oh, awesome.
Instead of Shadow of the Colossus, it's Shadow of the Goulashes, right? We make And so, and I just did Elden Onion Rings. And so,
oh my God.
But they're terrible. It's always bad because I suck at everything. And so I would actually like to be a real chef. Maybe, you know what? A pastry chef, because pastries are so hard to make, right?
I can see that.
What would you be, Sonia? What would your GTA job be?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I feel like you really had me with the radio host thing, but listen, I feel like, you know, we have criminals. We have people who...
That's me.
We also have people who are cleaning up the streets from criminals.
Ooh, there we go.
But what if we had somebody who was just cleaning up the streets? What if I got into sanitation?
Whoa. They have sanitation!
What?
Yes!
They do!
I found my place.
You can do sanitation!
Yes!
Yes!
I found my place.
Okay, that's
I found
perfect.
My people.
That's perfect.
Oh my God. I will say, I've always wanted to drive one of those trucks with the giant brushes, which like, and the brushes are spinning. It's gotta be so satisfying. Mm-hmm. You're like human Roomba or something.
Like a human pressure washer or something.
Yes.
It's gotta feel nice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Now, do you ever play, because I know for something that's your job and it's something that you're streaming constantly, do you ever just play games for, I mean, it's all fun, but for fun, like outside of content, like what's your, I know it's hard to
it's hard.
Make that happen, but.
Yeah. I find myself, when I do that, I feel guilty. Like, oh, this is good content. I should be streaming this. And then I end up going live and I'm like, God, just enjoy things without streaming it to the internet. But I can't. I'm like, the whole time I'm like, why are you not streaming? Right. This is free hours. You could be getting this. You could, you know,
this is a good moment. Oh, I should have had that. Oh, I wish I had this. Yeah, totally.
100%.
It's hard. I'm finding that now with, I'm playing Elden Ring and I'm finding that now where I'm like, oh shit, like this is something that I should have just started streaming. But honestly, I'm like, you know what? Enjoying this for me.
Yes.
If there's funny moments, I love how now like on PlayStation and stuff and Xbox, you can just record the last like 30 seconds or a minute. I'm like, cool. I'll have some clips to post, but like ultimately enjoying this for me, which 100%. Is hard as a content creator for sure.
Yeah.
I guess thinking back to like when you first started streaming and now like even thinking of when I started streaming in like 2013, I feel like the game is completely different to what it is now, like entirely different. And one thing I personally struggle with is when people ask me, how do I start streaming? How do I get into this space? And I have a difficult time answering it because, again, it was a completely different world when I started. And, you know, I try to say, like, be consistent, play something you love with people, people you enjoy playing with and, like, curate and enjoy your community. But, you know, looking back from where you started, where you're at now, how the Twitch game is now, what would you tell people who are looking into getting started in streaming?
Yeah, honestly, you know, I would say be live as much as you possibly can because you never know when that host is coming your way that, you know, will change your community or, you know, a new subscriber that will stick around, you know. So you're missing opportunities when you look over and say, God, I only have this many viewers. I'm just going to end my stream. Like, you're limiting yourself because you don't know what's coming your way. I mean, how I got started was... I don't know if you guys know who Karina Koff is, but she was with the Vlog Squad back in the day, and you know,
Vlog Squad.
Yeah, so I used to watch her on YouTube, and I had bought a piece of her merch and posted a picture in it, and she at the time was streaming on Twitch and saw that, and so she messaged me and was like, "Hey, if you ever want to play, let me know." And I was like, what? Like, that was crazy. And so one day I was live and I was like, I was genuinely at one of those points where I'm like, oh, I don't have any viewers, like, you know, feeling sorry for myself. And she came in there and asked me to play with her and Tfue, who at the time was the biggest streamer on the platform, and Symphony, who is now my boyfriend.
Whoa. So, and is that how you guys met?
Yeah, they were setting us. They were setting us up on a blind date for a video.
That's wild.
Yeah, and 2.5 years later, we're here. So,
oh my gosh,
kind of crazy. But it was just like a freak, random thing that, you know, you just never know when it's coming your way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy how I feel like the stars will align like that and the universe just like makes it happen. I truly believe, and we've talked about this before, where if you're doing something that you love and you're on the grind, I feel like you will connect with the right people and you'll be put into a place where stars will align like that. You know what I mean? It's a lot of grind and a little luck for sure.
Yeah, that's what I always say is like, you know, it's really competitive. And yeah, like that was the best $12 I've ever spent, you know? But, you know, there's luck involved and people, you know, you can work really hard, but you have to have that opportunity at the same time. And take advantage of that.
And I feel like that opportunity comes, but it's always like, you know, the thing I always say to people is like, hope that opportunity doesn't reach you before you're ready.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing too, is I think there is that, like, yes, that was a great thing that happened to you. But also you, to Sonia's point, you were putting the work in.
Right.
You were meeting opportunity more than halfway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when it happened, you were like, oh, great. I've been doing this. Boom. Now I've got the jetpack and off to the moon. But if it had been like your first stream, you'd be like, oh God, now what do I do? You know, like,
yeah.
So I think that's the thing. That's the other important thing is like, it really is important to put that work in and you mm-hmm. did and you do. And it all happened. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
How amazing is
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Dang.
It was crazy. I still am like, how did that even happen? How did I get to this point in my life? But
it's
I'm like glad I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Brooke, I hate to say it, but we're almost out of time. This has flown by. This has been a delight. But we love to end every interview with asking our guests their best game and their worst game. So not like in the universe, but like to you, what is the game that you hate or has disappointed you the most? And then what is your favorite game? Let's start low and we'll go high. Mm-hmm. So what's the game that makes you crazy?
Oh God, there's, I don't want to say there's so many, but.
There's so many. How do I choose?
Sometimes you play a game and you're like, God, this is what everyone was really like loving. I hate to say this. I was so disappointed in Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
I was crushed because I was so like looking forward to it and I was bored. I was so bored and I didn't want to be bored. I loved everything that was behind it. I liked the potential that was there. It just did not hit for me. It's not an awful game, but it just didn't meet my expectations. And I think that's why I'm so angry at it.
Yeah, the disappointment. I totally agree.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that, it wasn't even for me because of the bugs. It was more of a thing of just like,
no, it wasn't the bugs. It was like some of the dialogue was so heavy. It took up so much of the time, like too much. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially when you build it up so much in your heart and then you're let down. It just, it does hit different. It hurts.
Yeah.
It hurt.
I'd rather have a game that feels too short than a game that feels too big and long.
Yeah.
You know, like leave them wanting more, right? Leave them wanting more.
Yeah. Make a new one later.
Yeah. Right. That's true. Yeah. All right. So your favorite game. Let's go positive.
Oh, and I don't even have to think about this. Skyrim is the best game of all time.
Yes.
And I still play it to this day. I have played it the last however many years it's been out. It is the best game. Nothing has even come close to it for me. I love it. It's perfect.
do you feel like across all consoles of all time, do you think that you've probably put the most hours into Skyrim above all?
God, well, it's weird because Skyrim I love so much, but I don't stream it a lot. I've streamed it like maybe one or two times. Like I don't, so I put a lot of hours into streaming. So I don't know, but I mean, since I've been playing it for so many years, maybe. Cause
it's just for you. It's just
It's just my, that's my happy game.
Aw.
Yeah, I totally, like, for me, like, Skyrim, totally agree. And it, I don't know if you feel this way, Brooke, but it's like, for me, like, there's things in that game that I feel like only I'm experiencing. You know, like, you'll come across, like, oh, what's this weird cave? And then it's like 3.5 hours of this crazy thing. And there's like a shrine under the ground. You're like, oh my, and you just feel like, oh my God, I'm the only person to ever have this experience.
Yes. Or like the freak axes where like I'm walking along and I accidentally get those like big mammoth things mad at me. And I have, I have two giants, a mammoth, and a dragon attacking me at once. Like, what a freak accident, but this is hilarious, you know?
I love that.
Yeah. Especially what people have done with, like, modding it, too, over the years. Like, modded Skyrim is just, like, absolutely insane.
I've never tried it, and I need to try it, because I feel like I would love it even more.
Oh, for sure.
I think Dunkey made a video where it was like he did a mod where all the dragons were Thomas the Tank Engine. So you just see like a dragon, like, but it's a giant Thomas, like, these huge eyes. And it was horrifying. It was amazing.
Oh, my God. That's so scary.
The mod rabbit hole goes deep, and I am here for it.
Oh, my God. It's That's hilarious.
Amazing. My God. Well, Brooke, thank you so much. This was such a pleasure. And I look forward to us all meeting up in the new metaverse, Grand Theft Auto.
Yes,
for
absolutely.
Me, I'll make you guys some pastries. Sonia, you can you'll
keep it clean.
Keep it clean. That's right. And Brooke, I guess he'll be on the run from the law.
I'll be Robin Banks. Yeah.
There we go. Perfect. You'll fund our whole operation.
Well, I'm really glad that I have a new job title. I'm sorry to resign from the podcast so early. It's been a lot of fun, but, you know, the sanitation world in Grand Theft Auto is calling to me. So thank you to Brooke for not only introducing me to my new job, but for joining us on the podcast today.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
All right, we're back. Now, one thing we have kind of discussed quite a bit on this podcast is pacing. Pacing, I think, is a very overlooked thing when it comes to video games, a very overlooked pro and a very overlooked con. Sometimes, and Sonia, I don't know how you feel, but sometimes when I'm starting a game and the tutorial slash prelude is like 3 hours, like I'm deep in the game and I'm like, all right, I'm finally getting the hang of this. And then all of a sudden it's like,
and you know, like, and then wait a sec.
Yeah, and then it's like,
I'm level
cyberpunk.
20.
I know. I'm like, what the fuck? Right. I thought this game was over, and it's like, da, da, da.
It has just begun.
Yeah, we've only just begun. So I gotta say, pacing is a thing that it's kind of like editing in film. When it's done right, you don't notice, but when it's done wrong, I just stop playing the game.
It sticks out. I mean, look, Aaron, I am an expert at my own pacing in a panic in my apartment. So I feel like I know a thing or two about pacing. But yeah, in game, you're right. Like, it does stick out when it's wrong. And I think of something like, I mean, I feel like Elden Ring doesn't really have pacing in quote. It's just like, here you go.
Now, I think Elden Ring's a perfect example of a game that I just stopped playing because I was like, there's no way.
It kind of just throws you to the wolves. But then also when you have the opposite, something like, I'm trying to think of a good example. I think I've had this, in the newest Pokemon game. I think it was Arceus, where it is so, I mean, granted, a game for a younger demographic than myself.
I hate Pokemon, yeah.
However, it being so hand-holdy, and the dialogue, the, like, you cannot progress at all. You have to do this one little dumb task for, like, it, just the pacing is so mind-numbing. I had to stop.
It's a person you can't get away from at a party. You know, it's like one of those. Like, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And you just come back.
I'll come with you.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Do you need help?
No, it's going to be.
I can hold your drink.
Yeah. No, shit.
No, it's fine. I'll wait.
I'm done with my drink. Oh, okay. I got to, you know what? I think I got to go feed my meter.
I can help. I can pay for it real quick.
Yeah. I killed someone. I have to run away from the cops.
I'll hide the body. This is literally how Pokemon feels like it starts. I'm not going to lie.
So that's pacing. That, like, I think we're at the point now where games have the ability to really, and Elden Ring's a perfect example, really create a gigantic universe, a huge world. Mm-hmm. But I think with that comes the responsibility of also making a great experience, mm-hmm. you know? And I think, like, look, as a comedian, I think, like, the perfect joke is a joke that sits in the middle in a Venn diagram of people who are really versed in pop culture and people who have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Clueless Gamer did that very well. I think it was great for people who really love games and people who really hated games. It was great. And I think that we are getting into this world now where games are becoming really inaccessible because they are so big and so insane and so crazy. And it's like, you know what? A game like Inside, which is very simple, and you're a kid and you're just trying to solve puzzles, but yet world builds in a great way, is compelling all the way through and ends, and you want it to continue. That is, in my mind, perfect pacing and a game done well, aimed at a very wide audience, but that can be enjoyed by anybody.
I felt very similar with It Takes Two.
Ah.
Where I do feel like the pacing was really on, like, I wasn't bored at any time. I felt like any of the cutscenes weren't too long. It wasn't hand-holdy. They encompass so many different genres, and it's so accessible for people who are into those genres. Like, if you see that one that was kind of Hades-esque, like dungeon crawler, and you're like, oh, I love these kind of games.
Right.
But for people who haven't had experiences with it, it's an easy pickup.
Yes.
Like, it's very intuitive. The pacing works well. You're in a mini game, cutscene, like, yada. It flows really well. That was done well.
And I'm not saying that every game needs to be accessible to everyone. I think From Software has done a great job at carving out their own piece of, you know, the gaming universe. And that's great. Not every book is for everybody. Not every show is for everybody. But I think we're at the point now where there's so much noise and so many games out there that I would just love to see developers that have the ability to maybe corral the game a little bit and make a richer experience that we're going to play all the way through versus these massive, oh, this map is the biggest map that's ever been made. There's so many things to do. I get it. But it's like, look, like, not every book is the fucking Count of Monte Cristo and needs to be 2,000 pages long. You know, sometimes you're just not telling a compelling enough story. And that, I would say, is the problem with Elden Ring. You're not telling a compelling enough story for me to give a shit. I don't care. You know, it's like, that's the thing. It's all stats to me. So It Takes Two is a perfect example. And I would really rather, again, maybe a game that's smaller, but is maybe then you're putting a lot into the DLC or something along those lines.
Very true. I mean, I think we've talked about it before. I think Fallout 3 is the perfect example of that, I felt like the whole game and the pacing and everything was great. And then if you wanted the game to continue, the DLC did perfect for that. With Broken Steel, you can actually still explore and have more missions and everything. But that's so hard to do in a game that's open world. So when I think of something like Elden Ring, it's so hard to navigate that. But I feel like Ghost of Tsushima did that really well, where there is, like, a main storyline that you can follow, and it's really compelling. It's really interesting.
I
and I kept wanting more. But then if I got bored, I can just, you know, fuck off and explore and, like, raid a village. I don't know. Do other
follow
samurai
a fox, right.
things. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Meditate.
Yeah.
Get zen. I feel like that was a game that is still, I guess, open world and has a massive map that did it really well.
One thing I think that is interesting about video games is, unlike a book, unlike a TV show, you can't really tell how much time it's going to take. Like, in some ways, you know, like, you could give me a percentage, like, you're 15% through the game. But, like, when I'm reading on my Kindle, I don't know how fucking long that is. The book's like 900 pages. You're 15% through. What does that mean? I don't know.
Exactly.
So I don't know if there would be a way for us to to figure out a way where you could tell me how far I am through the game in a way that I can understand.
You just need someone who like has played it already. Kinda. Like there's times where I will, like when I wanted to dive into The Last of Us 2 and I know that it's huge, like right. it's a big game. And I kept asking people, I'm like, well, how many hours? How many hours is this going to take?
What does
me?
That even
like,
what mean? Is right.
Well, what does that mean? It depends. It depends on so many things.
Yeah, I agree. I think the only way is really to have somebody with you who's played the game.
Bring back helplines for games.
I think that's it.
That's what the solution is.
I think that's it. Or you know what? Like, one thing that Kindle does, which I think they should do for games, is it'll say, you know, depending on how fast I've been reading, it'll say 5 minutes left in this chapter. I think in every pause menu, it should tell you, like, based on how long you've been playing, how long till the next thing or how much more you have to go in the game.
Oh, man.
That'd be great.
You know what? I like the mystery. Keep me guessing. Do I have 5 hours or 50?
No!
Who knows?
No! No guessing! I got other shit to do in my life. Not really. Actually, that's not true at all. It's a complete lie. Anyway, let us know what you guys out there think. Do we need progress bars in video games? Or am I just getting annoyed at something because I haven't slept that well and I've had too much coffee, which might be the case also. Hit us up on Twitter at Good Game. Nice try. And yeah, Weird West. Yeehaw, baby!
Okay. Good Game, Nice Try is produced by Jen Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Eduardo Perez, with engineering and sound design by Chester Guasta. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. Special thanks to Lisa Berm, and music by John Danick.
Danick. Yeehaw.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.